Welcome to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. Speeding your way quick as a greyhound, chatting more than a chihuahua, leaping through obstacles like a border collie, and barking out loud my better pet parenting messages, I am Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I'm delighted to help you make the difference in the life of an animal by coming to you via BBS Radio, iTunes, TuneIn, and on the WPET All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. Today, we're going to talk to Amy Shojai, founder of the Cat Writers Association, and learn about the upcoming conference in Phoenix. We're going to also talk to Mark Barone, who is painting a canine version of the Sistine Chapel, and we're going to learn all about an active dog museum of compassion. Last but not least, we're going to have a conversation with my friend Lisa Brambilla, founder of BioEarn and BioEarn for Pets, to hear about how her company is participating in World Pet Memorial Day this Sunday, June 12th. So, no matter how much you already rock at taking care of your furry family members, there is always more to learn. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing. But stay tuned to this episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to listen and learn how to be the person your dog or cat knows you can be. Also, don't forget to pick up that phone and give us a call with any questions you have on the topics we're discussing. Call-ins are always welcome toll-free, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And you can always email me at petsafetycrusader@gmail.com. Now, what I'd like to delve into first today, though, is our first aid and safety lesson, and it's going to be on bees and other buzzing insects out there because it's that time of year, and our dogs and cats often get stung because of their curiosity. Most of the time, they do get stung on the face because they are biting or snapping at these little insect creatures, these little buzzing creatures that go in front of their face. And it's always amazed me how a dog or cat thinks anything that moves in front of them is fair game. But, you know, they are predators, and they will go after things, and not always things that will not, in fact, cause them harm, but ones that will. So, you know, do your best to deter your dog or cat from going after bees by, you know, not leaving food out. You know, if you've got a picnic or anything that's, you know, uncovered that would attract bees to it. As far as mosquitoes, I know all of our cities are going to be on our case about not having anything with standing water in it because that's where mosquitoes breed. But as far as, you know, the bees, do your best. If your pet is jumping and leaping at them in their playful manner, maybe have that little water squirt bottle handy. Don't let them see you do it, but kind of give them a little squirt of water so that maybe they'll associate it with the insect rather than you and maybe stay away from it. But when the worst does happen, that's what I'm all about, being there for your pet at the time of injury or illness. Always remember that pet first aid and CPR is not a replacement for competent veterinary care. It's what we do before we can get to a veterinarian. And sometimes, like with us humans, the first aid we provide may be sufficient, but other times it's only the first aid and a line of medical treatment that will have to ensue afterwards. So if your pet is bitten, the first thing you want to do is carefully remove the stinger. But even before that, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to restrain your dog or cat. And that may be the most difficult task of all. It's so important, you know, to teach our pets to come to us, because even then when they're in distress, it might be easier to handle them. Dogs, as a rule, are a little bit easier than our kitty cats, but, you know, each pet is a unique individual, and we have to learn what works best for them. With our kitty cats, it's often a good thing to wrap up their four legs, toss a towel over their back, and wrap up their four legs and kind of swaddle them so that we can examine the situation without, you know, getting scratched in the process. But what I do always suggest with your pet when he has been injured or ill is, as long as he can walk, shoo him into a bathroom if you're at home. and shut the door. Generally, our bathrooms don't have too many places our pets can hide. We often have all of our first aid supplies there, running water, towels, and things. So we have a smaller controlled environment in which to, you know, take a good look at our pet. If we're trying to hold a dog on a leash, our hands are occupied with the leash. If we shoo Kitty into the bedroom, she's going to go under the bed. If we shoo her into the living room, she's going to go under the sofa. And then we have to get down there and crawl under, or, you know, by the time we do so, the kitty may dash elsewhere. So find a, you know, small room that you can confine yourself and the pet to. Talk in your calmest of voices and see if you can check out the situation. Now, the first thing I said for a bee sting is to remove the stinger. But to be honest with you, that generally applies more to us humans. And when you are removing a stinger, I know most of us are inclined to grab tweezers or pinch it out with our fingers, but it's truly better to scrape a stinger away with a popsicle stick, a credit card, even flick it with your fingernail. Often when we use tweezers or our fingers to remove a stinger, we actually puncture the toxin, the little poison sac next to the stinger. That toxin now goes into the hole made by the stinger. We get the allergic reaction and we start to scratch and itch, and swelling ensues. Whereas if we just scraped it away, often we'll just be left with that tiny pinprick of a stinger, which will stop bothering us in a short period of time. With our furry best friends, however, sometimes it's a moot point because generally the dog or the cat has already pawed at it, or they buried their face in the grass or the ground to try to remove it. We also have that other complication of all the fur on their bods, so we often can't locate it. But should you see a stinger in the nose, in the lip, in the paw, any part of the body, do scrape it away. Next, my first aid suggestions to you are Benadryl and an ice bath. Benadryl, the generic form, is diphenhydramine, and it often comes in 25 milligram tablets. What I suggest, if you can find them to have on hand, are the liquid gel caps, because if you actually take a straight pin and puncture that gel cap and squirt it under your dog or cat's tongue, number one, it's easier to get it into them than trying to make them swallow a pill. And secondly, anything that goes under the tongue sublingual actually gets into the bloodstream a bit quicker. It may be a minuscule amount of time that you save, but sometime every second can count, and it can really help, subside some of the swelling. The other helpful tip is to use an ice pack. Often a bag of frozen peas or vegetables does the job. You don't have to have the actual, you know, ice pack there. And place it on the area of swelling for a few moments and remove it. Place it back for a few moments and remove it. I generally call it my 30-second rule, but you can actually leave the ice pack on for several minutes. I just don't want you to leave it on your pet for any long period of time because, number one, the first time you put it on him, he's probably going to squirm or move away from it. So it's not a really indicator that it's getting too cold. But if you do leave it on for an extended period of time, you actually can cause frostbite. So we don't want to add injury to injury here. And we want to just make sure we're taking down the swelling and alleviating the itch. Generally, within the hour, we have a very sleepy pet who's no longer pawing or clawing at the sting, and the swelling does start to go down. Please, though, always check with your veterinarian first, because Benadryl across the board is generally safe for a pet that doesn't have health injuries or isn't on any medication. But as I always talk about, dogs and cats are unique individuals, and you want to make sure you aren't doing anything at home that could be problematic. My other big caveat to this is if your dog or cat is swelling profusely, or they're having even the slightest bit of a breathing difficulty, do not delay. Get to them to your veterinarian ASAP. Some pets, just like us humans, are highly allergic to insect toxin and can go into anaphylactic shock, a severe allergic reaction, where especially if they're bitten on the face, the tongue can start to swell, and it can make it even too difficult to do rescue breathing or CPR. So know your pet, Check ahead of time from your veterinarian if Benadryl would be an okay thing to give him in a bind. And once your pet has had a bad reaction to a bee sting, check with your veterinarian about getting a prescription for an EpiPen, which truly might save his life. Your veterinarian can explain more about that. I don't want to go into those details because if your pet hasn't, you know, had this problem before, it's not something you should pursue. So keep your pets safe, monitor them, supervise them. They're furry toddlers that need, you know, to for us to keep a safe environment for them. But when life does happen, do be prepared to jump to the task and help them. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Amy Shojai.
I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and although I have taught more than 10,000 humans animal life-saving skills, I know there are so many more dogs and cats who could benefit from their people learning better pet parenting. That's why I travel far and wide teaching you to keep your pets safe and help them live longer, happier, healthier lives. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become the bow, wow, wonderful person your pet knows you can be.
You love your pet. When you use holistic medicine, their healthcare options expand. The American Holistic Veterinary Medical Foundation funds vital holistic research for your pet and your vet. Help us find these answers. Donate now. Go to helphealanimals.org. Donate for holistic research. Your pet will thank you, unless it's a cat. They expect you to do the right thing. HelpHealAnimals.org.
And welcome back to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. I am positively delighted to have Amy Shojai with us today. Amy is the author of 30 award-winning books, and she's also a savvy blogger and a consultant to the pet product industry. Amy began her career as a veterinary technician and has published more than, count them, 2,000 articles, hosted 100 internet podcasts, and is the founder and past president of the International Cat Writers Association, which is why I'm chatting with Amy today. Amy, glad to have you.
Oh, I am so excited to talk with you. Congratulations on your radio show.
Well, thank you so much. Now, June is often labeled Adopt a Cat Month, so it's a great time for our listeners to bring a new furry being into their heart and their home. But I always want to remind them, no impulse decisions. Take time to consult with all the family members and do your research, as this is a lifetime commitment. But with felines on our mind, I thought it would be a great time to talk about Cat Writers, who are going to be holding their annual conference in Phoenix in 2 weeks. So, Amy, tell us all about it.
Yes, the Cat Writers Association, we're more than 20 years old now. It's hard to imagine that, but we hold an annual conference with writers' seminars that help newer writers learn how to blog or how to write articles or publish books. And then we also have a big award celebration for the best cat writing of the year, kind of the Emmys of the cat world. So it's a lot of fun. In fact, mentioning the Adopt a Cat Month, I just put my Cat Writers Association award-winning kitten book on sale for 99 cents to help all of the kitty owners and new adopters out there. But the awards banquet has all of these wonderful awards. We give the Muse Medallion and in a whole host of different categories. And then we have wonderful corporate sponsors who donate funds and offer spectacular awards on specific different categories, like a fiction award, the Literary Award for Fiction, for instance. Right. And, you know, the best article on adopting a special needs cat. There's just all kinds of wonderful specific types of awards given.
I love that it's a muse medallion, because cats often are like our muses. They inspire us, and sometimes they, spur us to action as well.
Absolutely. One of our founding members who unfortunately has since passed away was a brilliant artist, and she designed our Muse medallion. So it's probably twice the size of a silver dollar. It is, and it's actually a hefty thing. If you win more than one of those, they're going to stop you at the security going through the airport because they're nice, heavy, wonderful, spectacular awards on a ribbon. They look kind of like the Olympic awards. So those are very coveted because all of the entries must be published work. So basically people who enter have already won because they're already published, but then they are judged by a panel of their peers. And the people who are nominated for these awards are really kind of the best of the best. And then out of the nominations, those receive the Muse Medallion.
Wonderful. Well, we have a lot of listeners that probably have kitty cats sitting by their side right now. And should that cat actually become their muse and inspire them to write, how do they go about becoming a member of the Cat Writers Association?
Great question. The first step is to go to our website, which is, it's very simple, catwriters, all one word, .com. So it's catwriters.com. There is a blog there that has information about the current events, which of course for us is the conference. There are also some information about the contest. There is a page there. They can find out more about the organization and how they can apply for membership. There are two levels of membership, the professional member and the affiliate, because we want to mentor newer writers, what I call the pre-published writers. So you do not have to be a published professional writer yet. Blog posts often will qualify. They do need to be written in a professional manner. Just because you haven't been published professionally doesn't mean you can't be a professional writer and have, you know, good grammar and all of those things. So there are some specific criteria, and that's all itemized there on the website.
Well, that's wonderful, and having the two levels is so helpful because often people in life, no matter what it is, we get into kind of what they call a catch-22. You can't be published until you have tear sheets to show that you've already been published someplace, and how do you get those until, you know, you get the job? So
well,
it's,
you know,
great.
One of the best places, I don't mean to interrupt you, but
no.
One of the best places to get those first credentials is volunteer for your local shelter. They always have newsletters. They're always looking for help. Write something in the newsletter or write. We've had members become members with a letter to the editor in their local newspaper. And some of those people enter the contest. They're an associate member, but they win a special award, and suddenly they're bumped up to professional status because once you have won an award, it's like a stamp of approval in the community. And, of course, the pet products industry is there and watching, and they're the people that want you to write for them.
What a meowbalous idea. It really is. It's a win-win. You're helping out your animal shelter who needs your talents to spread their message, and you're helping yourself become a published writer.
We have members who are photographers, professional photographers, who are radio hosts, who do public relations work. So that it's not just the writing, which is, of course, often a big part of it, but it can be all of these things. We have television people involved. We have veterinarians involved, the animal behavior consultants. So there's a large, we don't want to leave anybody out. There's the world of cats is huge and diverse and spectacular, and we want every tabby pattern in the world involved.
Well, that's wonderful. If you love cats and are inspired by them and have a way of expressing yourself, whether it's, you know, by the word or the photograph or the illustration, Cat Writers Association is something you should definitely check out. Now, before we have to go, though, Amy, I want to chat with you a little bit because you've been writing books about animals for so long, and so many of them have been nonfiction, helping people help their pets. But you have now kind of gone into the fiction realm a little bit with a couple of thrillers, Lost and Found and Hide and Seek. Can you tell me a little bit about it and how you're enjoying the switch?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the third book in the series, Show and Tell, came out this past January, and there are more to come. In fact, I have a novella coming out with a Rottweiler puppy character in it, and that's going to be launching in maybe another week or so. But basically, I'd always loved fiction. I always wanted to get into it, and I was so busy with the nonfiction, it took a while for me to find the time, and once I did, it's wonderful because I can bring in all of the information that, the factual information that we need to know about our pets, but then put a little bit of a twist and say, well, what if? And what I love to do with my thrillers, my main character is an animal behaviorist, so all of the plots are very pet-centric. And she has a service dog, and he has his own viewpoint chapters. So you get to kind of peek in between those furry ears and know what the German Shepherd, the young German Shepherd, is thinking. And why is that man looking at me? How rude. He doesn't know to look away the way a good dog would. You know, those types of things. So it's great fun, and there's cats involved too. But it's very liberating. And in the back of the books, I always put in a section that I call fact or fiction. So you can go there and say, okay, you know, this has got to be fiction, and I will tell you exactly what is going on in the book and how I decided to put that in the storyline, and half the time, it's true. It's true.
Well, fabulous. I'm so happy for you that you are keeping it fun for yourself by shifting gears. Tell us where our listeners can get your books.
Well, pretty much any of the online venues are going to have them. You can get the print copies there as well, so Amazon and Barnes & Noble, of course. Your local bookstore, you would have to ask them to order them, but certainly they could do that. They are available on all ebook platforms, so Kindle and Nook and Kobo. And the first book in the series, I haven't gotten around to doing the two next ones in the series, but the first one is in audiobook too, and guess who got to record this book? It was great fun.
Who? Well, that's wonderful. So I encourage everybody to go along on the journey with Amy. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, I'm going to ask you to sit, stay, and get ready to learn some more.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Hey, pet lovers. Now you can simply wash your pet's filthy collars and leashes. Introducing Laundrleash, a padded, porous laundry bag designed to get rid of those nasty germs. Simply zip up your pet's collar and leash in Laundrleash and toss it in with your next load of laundry. Wow, no more soaking or spending money to replace them. This is what I want you to do. Go to laundrleash.com, LaunderLeash.com. At last, an easy way to get rid of the bacteria and germs on the dirtiest pet product we all own, Laundrleash.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. I would like to introduce you to Lenstatin. If your pet has failing eyesight due to cataracts, then you need to check this out. Lenstatin, the world's only cataract protection developed by Dr. Scott Tunis, board-certified ophthalmologist and a nationally recognized expert in cataract surgery. Lenstatin, a human source supplement made right here in the USA that you can even use for yourself. For more information, go to Lenstatin.com. That's Lenstatin, Lenstatin.com. If you tell them that All Paws sent you, you will receive 10% off their already low prices. So go to Lenstatin.com today. Your pet will thank you.
Welcome back to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. I'm Denise Fleck here, and I'm delighted to have Mark and Marina with me. Mark Barone is the founder of An Active Dog. And prior to starting this charity, he'd worked. His work had been featured in top art publications. He's been awarded all kinds of things and exhibited throughout America, with much of his work hanging in private and corporate collections all over the world. He's also consulted with cities across America, showing them how to use the arts to revitalize blighted neighborhoods. But Mark is joining me today because for the last 4 years, 1,400 days straight, Mark has been painting 5,500 portraits of shelter dogs to raise funds for animal welfare. Marina, the co-founder of Active Dog, works as a full-time volunteer, and it's my understanding she wears something like 20 different hats and probably a whole lot of tails, managing every aspect of the charity. Welcome, Mark and Marina.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad to have you here. Now, as a high school animal care instructor and a children's book author, I love that the Museum of Compassion is being created to educate kids and adults about the link between, you know, loving animals and caring for people. As I always say, you know, I found out teaching high school animal care that kids do not always listen to their parents, but parents do listen to their kids. So anything we can do to inspire and educate the youth, we're not only, you know, training the next generation of animal caregivers, but they share it with their parents and the grandparents. So, you know, hopefully we're hitting many generations at once. So with that said, tell me what Active Dog is and anything you can about this Museum of Compassion.
Well, what it is, it started out of our love for, obviously, animals. And, you know, Mark had lost his dog, Santino, after 22 years. So we actually were looking for a dog to adopt. And instead of finding one, we discovered the chilling numbers of animals that are being destroyed every day in shelters across America. And, you know, Mark being an artist, you know, I presented the problem to him. And he decided to illustrate exactly what we're doing every day. So the 5,500 paintings that he took 1,400 days straight, it was about almost 4 years to complete, represent the approximate number of dogs that are destroyed every day. And the ultimate goal, you know, obviously is to get the exhibit up in a Museum of Compassion to, help the next generation cultivate more compassion and, you know, a lot more detail than that.
Well, and the artwork is so soulful. I mean, you really look like you can see into these dogs, you know, hearts and souls. So I'm moved by that. But I just have to interrupt for a second. Did you say that Mark had a dog for 22 years?
Yeah, I did. Santina. She's one of the large 8-foot by 8-foot paintings. I did 11 of them. So she's one of those. And yeah, I had her for 22 years. And at the time, it was almost half my life. So, yeah, it was, and when I lost her is when the snowball effect happened as far as this project.
It's funny. It seems that, you know, so many of us are propelled onto our life's work by, you know, one special animal. And no matter how much time we get to spend with them, it's never long enough. But boy, 22 years, that's amazing. You must have done everything right as a pet parent.
Oh, you know, I mean, she was an amazing little dog. I mean, she was a fighter, and she was really in good health, and probably until the last month and a half, 2 months. And mm-hmm. So she still used to, I mean, even when she was 21, almost 22, she was still doing 2 walks a day, probably a couple miles a day. So She was an amazing little dog.
Wow, that's just incredible. So of these 5,500 portraits, where have the dogs or the inspiration come from? Has it been one particular shelter? Have people sent in pictures? Are they dogs you've seen in the street? Where were you inspired for these portraits?
They actually, you know, so many of the volunteers and rescue groups are unable to save them all. And so the ones that they weren't able to, you know, a lot of them asked us to include them in the 5,500. And some of them even created pages where they would collect them all the ones that didn't get saved. And so we would use that as well. So, you know, we tried. And so our aim was to get them from all over the U.S., from all states.
Wow. And 5,500, that's a big number. It's like you said, how many, you know, dogs lose their lives due to euthanasia simply because they didn't have somebody to provide a forever home for them. Will you be adding more to this collection, or is this complete now? Or
we have five left that we're waiting for PBS, who's been doing a documentary on the project for the last probably 3 years, and they're going to be finishing up soon. They want to capture the last five that I do, so we left five aside so I could paint those for them and for, you know, when they get their camera crew in.
And then there's the large, there's 11 8x8-foot paintings in addition to the 5,500. And they represent different areas like, you know, breed-specific legislation, puppy mills, dog fighting, you know, putting, destroying the animals for space, all these different reasons that need to be addressed and looked at, as well as the cats. There's an 8x8-foot cat. So it's just, you know, different ones to educate on other subjects that are important to address.
And the other thing, Denise, that's really important is that, you know, I mean, the 5,500 dogs that I painted are, they're representative and they're really symbolic of all shelter animals. It's not that, you know, we didn't care about cats or we didn't want to include them. It was just that I would be painting for seven more years in order to complete that, because the cats are almost double what dogs are every day, you know, as far as...
Well. Exactly. I mean, it's like you brought up the different animal issues like breed-specific legislation and puppy mills. There's so many of us out here that are, you know, trying to do work to help the animals, but we can all only be a certain spoke in the wheel. But together, hopefully, we're making that wheel turn and making a change, you know, in the lives of many, many animals. But you did say you did do a kitty cat because, you know, a lot of dogs do have feline companions, so that's awesome as well. Of all the paintings you painted, I know Santini obviously has a special place in your heart, but of the ones you painted, was there one that particularly tugged at your heartstrings? Did you get to see something in a picture that was given to you, or know a story that was just of, you know, particular interest?
Yeah, I think the hardest one that I had to paint was probably Lennox, and Lennox was a dog that was killed, and it was taken from the family in over in Ireland. It was Belfast, and so the family over there, I mean, the story of Lennox was known, you know, really worldwide, and what happened to him, and how they actually pulled him from their home and then kept him in a concrete cell for almost two years, and then ended up killing him, and so. We talked to the family because I really can't paint, you know, anyone's dog unless we get permission. And they were thrilled that I was going to paint it. But I mean, I struggled through that painting. It was really hard to do because I was trying to tell a story of this animal that was a companion animal for their daughter, because
a service dog
for their daughter, because she had. I think it was asthma, and she couldn't go out and play with the other kids, so they got Lennox for her, and then ended up getting taken from the home, and then, you know, it was just a whole nightmare scene. So I was trying to do justice to Lennox's portrait and tell the story of what happened to him, and I just really struggled with that painting. It was very hard to do.
Wow, I definitely remember hearing that in the news and on social media. I didn't realize Lennox was one of the dogs you had painted. So that's just so incredible. And it just reminds all of us that we have to get involved. We have to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. Because I know sometimes the news we hear is just so hard to listen to when it involves animal stories. But if we don't listen and respond, you know, and think somebody else will, the animals are the ones that are suffering. So it's just so amazing that you guys have, you know, stepped up to the plate with an active dog and are trying to make this known. And I know on your website, you have equally soulful prints for sale. I saw there were some adorable little knitted or crocheted dog scarves and t-shirts for purchase. And by the way, I know your website is www.anactofdog.org. So can you tell the people where their donation money is going and how they can get more involved and to make, you know, more people aware of this?
Well, what we're doing now, the second stage is actually creating, like you just saw on the website, the fine art products that people can buy. And then 100% of the proceeds go to over 100 rescue groups in all 50 states. And so this will be our first year for that. And obviously we'll do different versions of that in the coming years. And then the ultimate goal is to get the help and support to get the museum up, because, you know, we don't have the funds to do that, but it needs to get up because, you know, a strong part of our path is really teaching the next generation how to use art for social change. So they would learn how to create, you know, or paint. We'd turn it into a product. And then we would show them how to build a social campaign to raise money and awareness for the animals that they feel connected to. So it's really a very interactive program. And we've already done so many Skype sessions with schools across the world.
That is just wonderful. I mean, to leave a kinder heart and kind of a gentler footprint on the world, you know, with our kids learning that and, you know, then the adults in turn learning. You guys have got to stay in touch with me and let me know when you're going to be up and open so that we can do like a little grand opening pitch to get people to visit this museum. But I thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate your support, and thanks for all that you're doing in the world.
Well, you are doggone welcome. So don't touch that dial, phone line, internet connection. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this quick break.
Being the one who makes a difference is what I am all about. I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and my superpower is helping people to help their pets. So I come to you via the airwaves, sharing the latest 411 on how you can help your pets live longer, happier lives by your side. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become that awesome person your pet knows you can be.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet. All-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com, or call us now at 386-310-3924. Listen up, pet lovers. The best way to keep your pets safe and your car seats clean is by purchasing StageAx. Now you can take your pets with you and keep your car seats clean with a highly durable mat and never worry. Keep your car clean, keep your pets safe, and keep yourself happy with StageAx. This is what I want you to do. Go to StageAx.com. I'll spell it for you. StayJax.com. StayJax.com. Now you can enjoy traveling with your pets and keep them safe and keep your car seats clean.
Welcome. welcome back to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. Wasn't that awesome possum hearing about Mark and painting 5,500 shelter dogs? I really hope their message gets out to the world and we can really work on this problem and make sure that, you know, all of our furry friends do have a forever home. But now I want to switch gears a little bit because we are upon World Pet Memorial Day on June 12th. And, you know, some of us are lucky enough to have pets in our homes throughout their lifetimes. And when we do adopt, we do hope it's going to be a lifetime commitment. But boy, when we have to say goodbye to our furry best friend, it's devastating. It's like we've lost a part of ourselves, and we've certainly lost a pet member of the family. And just like when a human passes, we need to go through a grieving process. It doesn't mean we won't ever love again, but we need to heal ourselves because we have lost, you know, something like an arm or a leg in a way, a piece of our heart, an animal who has meant so very much to us and has touched our lives in so many ways. So there are a lot of things, you know, you can do to help yourself along. Writing is often cathartic. It's kind of is like doing therapy. Write a letter to that pet who has passed on, or create a journal of all the things you did together. Write a special poem. One of the favorite things I like to do is look up into the sky during the day, and maybe there's a cloud formation that'll remind me of my pet. Or pick out a special star that whenever I see that star at night, it makes me think of that loving family member that's no longer with me on this earth, but forever in my heart. Of course, you can always go on social media and you can post all kinds of pictures and, you know, write a remembrance. And then that gives your friends the opportunity to offer sympathy and support to you. Something else I've done in the past is made a stepping stone out of concrete where I've actually ended up putting the dog tags in there. And, you know, if I've made it ahead of time, we put their paw print. But if not, you write their name and maybe an imprint of their favorite toy or something along those lines so that they're always still close visually to you and in your heart. But, you know, there will be a time when you're going to need to learn to love again. But we need to do things to cherish their memory and to help us heal. And a great thing you can do is to plant a tree or a shrub or even a whole garden in your pet's memory. It can be so comforting and something you can visit. And if you're looking for something a little more, companies like BioEarn incorporate a portion of a pet's cremated remains in with the product to be planted. My Eternal Family Tree has pledged to plant a tree for every pet owner that signs up for their monthly newsletter. It's their way of giving back to the planet and staying in touch with the pet community. So to tell you more about this, I am so lucky to have a dear friend of mine, Lisa Brambilla of BioEarn for Pets, joining us. Lisa, are you there?
I sure am, Denise. Hi.
Hello. Tell me all about what you're doing, what BioEarn is, and all about this tree planting.
Okay. Well, you know, I do appreciate you having me here with you today, and welcome all your listeners, and urge them to give their furry friends and furry family members a big belly scratch and an ear wag for me. I actually was a veterinary professional for 13 years, and unfortunately lost my job when I was battling cancer. And so I found myself really over 50 years old and wondering what to do with my life as far as a career. And I channeled all my creativity and my love for my pets into creating this product called BioEarn. And basically what it is it's a handcrafted pet urn that grows a living memorial. It grows a tree of the pet owner's choice. They choose it on our website. And it's created by a pet lover for pet lovers, for people who want to celebrate a life well-lived and valued by creating new life and let their memory really live on. And so when I created this product, I thought how appropriate it would be to not only get people more aware of what it is that we're doing, but also help the planet to be a little greener. So with the upcoming World Pet Memorial Day on June 12th, I thought what a great idea it would be to set a goal of planting 1,000 trees, inviting people to visit my website at www.bioearn4pets.com and just sign up for our newsletter and give us your pet's name. And then we pledge to plant a tree for every single pet that is in, whose name is entered on our website during this promotion. Promotion goes through the 12th of June.
Awesome. And I understand you've already gotten hundreds of people interested in having trees planted for their pets.
I have. As a matter of fact, with the unfortunate passing of Brittany, the last 9/11 dog on Monday, we planted a Japanese maple in her honor in our greenhouse, and I posted it on social media, and it really went almost viral. And people from the Arbor Day Foundation and Bark Box and Gray Muzzle and the Bear and the Rat Frozen Treats and Sweet Pea Friends of Rutland, just a few of our online friends, have reposted and retweeted and shared it with all their friends. So it's really going out throughout the pet community, and people are finding out not only about a great way to memorialize their pet with a tree, but also about our product. So it's kind of a win-win for us and for pet lovers across the U.S.
How wonderful. I see that people can keep up with the greenhouse updates by going to #trees4pets. Is that correct? Hope I got it right.
Right. If they follow us on Instagram @bioearn4pets, then all they have to do is use #trees4pets, and that's, of course, the number four, and they can see all the updated pictures that we're going to be posting as we not only plant the trees, but also as the trees are growing, so they can watch their own specific pet's tree as it grows. And then all the folks who are in Southern California, and there happen to be quite a bit, are welcome to come by once their tree does reach about 1 to 1.5 feet tall. They're welcome to come by and pick up their seedling and plant it in their desired place for their pet, so their pet's tree can live on in their own backyard.
Oh, how wonderful. Creating a living memorial for your pet, something that, you know, one day you can sit down on the ground, prop your back up against, read your favorite book, look at photos of that pet who has passed, do so many things. And the rest of us along the way now, too, can just watch this journey by, you know, on Instagram and see what other animals have trees growing. This is just so amazing. I'm getting kind of teary-eyed thinking about all the dogs and cats I've had that have passed over the years and who just are forever in my heart.
Yeah, they do hold a special place in our hearts. And after they've crossed the Rainbow Bridge, that does not by any means mean that they are forgotten. They always hold a special place in our heart, no matter how many pets enter our family. And as a matter of fact, when our first pet passed, her name was Maka. She was actually our child before we had our son. So we had Maka in our family for 7 years. And when our son was born, Maka was his constant companion. And when she passed, my son was about 6, and he was so devastated. For almost 4 years, every time he'd walk through the living room and look at her urn, he would just get so bummed out and this big, depressed look on his face, which was very, very difficult for me as a parent to watch. Even though we had other pets in the household at the time, it just wasn't the same as his bond with Maka. So we used her ashes when we planted our very first bioearn tree, and it was amazing to watch the change in his overall attitude, because then each time he went out into the backyard to do his chores, he would go straight for her tree first and turn around with this enormous smile on his face to tell me about how big it was growing or how many flowers it had on it or anything else. And to watch that kind of a transformation from really, really sad to really happy and enthralled just because we've created new life with a tree using her ashes, it just made me feel so good. So it's a great way of kind of creating new life and making a grieving pet parent or a pet family member a little bit less, miss their pet a little bit less.
Oh, well, I can totally see that, because although I know there are beautifully handmade boxes and photographs and things, it's just, you know, not the same as knowing the ashes are in a box as opposed to being in the ground, going back to the earth and creating this amazing tree that not only provides shade and beauty, but, you know, creates oxygen for the planet and just can make us smile. So, Lisa, what you have done, I think, is just absolutely paw-amazing and kudos to you. Thank you for, you know, helping all of us by planting these trees for our own pets. And tell us again where people can go to have a tree planted or to learn more about BioEarn for Pets.
Sure. Visit our website. It's at www.bioearnforpets. That's B-I-O-U-R-N for P-E-T-S .com. And always use the number four, not the word F-O-R.
Wonderful. So everybody, out there listening, go there. And where else, Lisa?
Our Instagram, so you can follow the growth and the pictures of us planting in the greenhouse and then the growth of the trees. Instagram is at BioEarn4Pets, and use the hashtag Trees4Pets.
Awesome. One of my pack has come over here and is starting to talk on the phone, so forgive me, I got a little distracted there, but I'm glad you gave out that information. I'm so glad you were able to chat with us today. Paws crossed that you're going to be so busy planting trees that you'll have to put up your feet come Monday.
It's absolutely possum how amazing this promotion has been. So I'm really grateful to everybody who's come to our site, and welcome them to share it on Facebook. We're at My Eternal Family Tree on Facebook, and also BioEarn for Pets. We're on all social media, and I'm also posting pictures on Pinterest. So wherever we are, you can find us and share us with your friends.
Wonderful. Thanks again, Lisa. That was meow-tastic, considering that we're in Adopt-a-Cat month, so I had to put that on there. I thank everybody for listening today. We had a really full show. Remember what I started at the top of the hour: to help your pet steer clear of bees and know what to do should they get stung, you know, before you can actually get to veterinary care. If you're thinking about adding a feline to your family, Adopt-a-Cat month might be the right time to actually jump in and make that commitment. But do your research, know your pet, and talk with the people at the shelter or the rescue where you adopt from, so that you introduce the new cat to the one you already have at home and don't get any ruffled, well, I should say fur, not feathers, between the two of them. It's so important to do those introductions properly. I hope you guys now know a lot more about the people who write about cats. And if you are somebody that is interested in writing about cats or taking pictures about cats or illustrating them, I hope you will check into the Cat Writers Association. Their conference is coming up 2 weeks in Phoenix. And yes, I'm actually going to be there myself. We'll be broadcasting live from the Pet Safety Crusader Radio from Cat Writers Conference. I'm on what is called the Fear-Free Panel, and I'm honored to be sharing it with America's veterinarian, Dr. Marty Becker and Elizabeth Collarin. Today, we also heard about the 5,500 paintings that Mark Barron has done in the Active Dog Museum of Compassion, so don't forget to check that out. And please check out my friend Lisa's website, BioEarn for Pets, and see about having a tree planted for an animal that is no longer in this earthly life with you, but forever in your heart. As always, take time, please, to remember to give belly rubs and ear scratches to the lady or fellow by your side. And, of course, you can continue to reminisce about the ones who are no longer there. Check out my website to see if we can do a meet and greet during my upcoming fall Southern U.S. Pet Safety Tour. I just might be coming to a city near you, and I'm still seeking champions to make this 10,000-mile journey a reality. So email me at petsafetycrusader@gmail.com for details. Thanks so doggone much for allowing me to help you help your pet. My pack and I have paws and fingers crossed that you and yours will stay safe, healthy, and happy, and I personally challenge each of you to do your best to be a superhero in the life of an animal. Looking forward to having you hear me and my guests next time. This is the Pet Safety Crusader signing off and wishing you a bow-well, wonderful day. She went to call for a ride in the car. Doesn't matter.